Hi, welcome to Too Close to the Sun, Art Obsessions from Mercury 20 Gallery in Oakland, California's Art District. I'm your host, Elizabeth Scherr, and in this episode, we will hear from artists who work in multiple mediums, either sequentially or in the same time frame. They will talk about how the different mediums influence each other and the complications that arise in the art world. I will be joined by three Mercury 20 Gallery artists, Mary Curtis Radcliffe, Charlie Milgram, and Andrea Guskin. As my practice includes multiple mediums, including film and video, painting and drawing, artist books and installations, I will also be part of the discussion. We are so pleased to also be joined by Chandra Cerrito, principal at Chandra Cerrito Art Advisors and a former gallerist, who will share her insights and experience with this type of artist and their practice.
It was a very difficult decision to close the gallery. I always thought of the gallery as a curatorial project. It was this opportunity to show work I loved, just hand a space over to artists as somebody who went to art school and then you're sort of out on the street after and there's just nowhere to show your work. I really wanted to offer that opportunity. That's where I was coming from when I initiated having a gallery. But I was also always doing the consulting, which was easily 40 hours a week, if not more. And so it was always an add-on. I only had so much bandwidth to really help push their careers and making sure they get to new levels. I just needed to close that chapter, continue working with as many of those artists as wanted to continue working in the consulting realm. And that made sense for that, but kind of let them grow beyond what I knew they could do with me.
Andrea, what draws you to work in different mediums and what do you get from doing that in your practice?
I use a lot of everyday materials in my work. That's how I started changing from being solely a painter into a more expanded material language. And I like to use also a lot of ready-mades. I did one piece with a funnel and wool coming through the funnels from the ceiling to the floor. So through this kind of pushing these familiar objects out of context, I'm excited by what happens to the viewer, the emotions that can be generated through these different kinds of material. I still use paint, but I use it as one other material sort of in within the whole language.
Mary Curtis, you started in video. You don't really work much in video anymore. Talk about how you moved into other multimedia.
Well, when I went to the Rhode Island School of Design, I majored in sculpture. And then I went to New York, and then all of a sudden all this Portapak video stuff started coming into my life in 1969. So I ended up using a video camera for about three and a half years. I had always done photography ever since I was a child. So this was just a moving image. It seemed really natural to me. So I just basically, in the Video Freaks, which I was one of the founding members, I just stayed behind the camera because at that point, editing, you had to do it manually with pieces of tape, and that just drove me crazy. In 1973, moved to San Francisco, and I started doing sculpture, and I did that for about 25 years. And then after that, I started doing mixed media works on paper with collage and paint and all sorts of things. I do both now, sculpture and multimedia.
William Kendridge talked about how his practice in theater and in puppets and in drawing and animation fed each other. And I wondered if that happens for you.
I am working a lot with the form of the circle. And so I do circular drawings. I do circular sculptures. In my two-dimensional work, I do image transfer of my photography. So it's all kind of integrating and going back and forth. And sometimes it takes the form of three dimensions, and sometimes it takes the form of two dimensions.
Charlie, what did you start with, and how did you get into installation and sculpture and back now to painting or both?
Well, I did start with sculpture, and that's pretty much what I was doing when I was an undergraduate when I first moved to California at California College of Arts and Crafts, I also did glass blowing, and I just learned a lot. I was like growing into being an artist, and I used all of that to do window display for about 7 years. And I loved it because it was always like a new stage, and it was a new place, and it was a new space, a new problem. And I just incorporated a lot of found materials because there was a lot of it around. I was inspired by Duchamp, and then it evolved into sculpture and installation once I started getting used to space.
How many bowling balls do you have?
I have 600. The reason I have so many is because I've never turned any down. When people give them to me, I don't buy them. They just come to me. Sometimes somebody will say, oh, there's 100 green bowling balls in my backyard. Do you want to take them? I'd say, yeah, sure. I don't like to limit myself to materials. I think the materials are just there to serve my ideas. I just started painting recently. It just seems like a more common language in a lot of ways. I'm trying to also translate the sphericality of my balls into my paintings.
Well, I don't think the fact that somebody works in more than one medium or in more than one discipline is what makes them an interesting artist. I think they are the interest themselves and what they, their concepts, their approach, the way they execute. And if that happens to be in a variety of disciplines or media, then that's very engaging. But obviously it depends on the quality of the artist, right? And the work that they're doing and whether or not I personally connect with it.
When I was in school, the prevailing wisdom was find your mark and stand on it, which I found challenging to adhere to. Even though the art world today seems more accepting of artists exploring multiple mediums, I still feel sometimes like my artistic endeavors straddle two distinct realms, kind of like having my feet in two buckets. Some people know me solely as a filmmaker, while others recognize me only for my work in two-dimensional art. As for over three decades, I was professor of art at California College of the Arts, formerly CCAC. I produce a lot of work in both these realms, and I seek opportunities to showcase it. So I value the freedom afforded me at Mercury 20 Gallery, where I can curate exhibitions in any medium or combination of mediums I choose, free from the constraints often imposed by commercial galleries.
Even when I was in grad school in the early 90s, I was one of those people who didn't fit well into one of those categories. So I actually chose CCAC at the time because I was assured that I wouldn't be locked into the medium in which I applied. I entered as a printmaking major, and I was kind of bumping up against what had been ingrained in the sort of academic system, where there were these different disciplines based on media, because there was the assumption that printmaking majors don't need studios. So I was like the only grad student who didn't have a studio. I knew that wouldn't work for me. The director ended up being completely understanding that the world has changed and people do different media, and knew that it was sort of essential that I get a studio. So made that happen. I was on that cusp, the transition from discipline-based study to being an art student is much more open-ended. Artists today don't feel at all like they have to declare a particular medium to which they are eternally devoted. If an artist finds one medium suitable to express this idea, they can choose a different medium to express another idea.
Mary Curtis, have you found galleries or the people who give out grants or curators or reviewers open to your switching mediums or working in more than one? And has this changed over the decades that you've been making art?
I really haven't been in a commercial gallery. I can do whatever I want to do. And if I go for a grant, I just show my current work or whatever work that I think they're interested in. And so I haven't really been influenced much by curators or gallery owners.
Andrea, have you run into that, or did you run into that when you worked at the Jewish Museum?
I definitely have noticed a trend for artists working in multiple disciplines with materials and there being a much wider acceptance of that. I have found some resistance as I have transitioned from more two-dimensional mixed media paint collage work into work that encompasses photography and installation and painting. In terms of sending my work out to different kinds of grants and juried shows and residencies, that moving back and forth, as Mary Curtis was saying, between various disciplines, felt some resistance at times.
How about you, Charlie?
Well, I've been with Mercury 20 for 15 years, and they don't tell us what we can and can't do. It's one of the reasons I stay away from commercial galleries, because they tend to want to pigeonhole you into what is an easy thing for them to keep a script up about your work.
The commercial side is I think you kind of indicated one maybe tricky part of it, in that, you know, if there is a sort of track record of an artist selling a certain type of work, whether it's just because it's a certain medium or even a certain style or a certain body of work that they've developed for a long time, any time they introduce something that's outside of that, clearly the people who are attracted to that original work that they knew of may not have the same connection with the new work or the different work. So that can be challenging for commercial galleries. Personally, my experience having a gallery, technically commercial, really it came out of my love for curating, and it was really a curatorial project. So my decisions were not driven at all really by what would be something that would sell. I would say maybe the majority of the artists that I worked with at the gallery and many of the artists that I work with in consulting do touch on different media.
What is the hardest thing about working in multiple mediums? You want to start with that, Mary Curtis?
Working in multiple mediums is not a difficult thing for me to do. I just switch back and forth depending on what I want to produce and my inspirations at the time. So I can do a sculpture or I can do two-dimensional work very easily.
How about you, Andrea?
So I was a painter all my life, you know, since I was a kid. So I had all this confidence that I'd built up on how to work with paint. And so when I expanded and started using photography, sculpture, you know, I think of it as I'm still kind of painting with these various disciplines. Like I'm using the logic of painting, but I'm just expanding out. With every material, there's technical things that you need to know, ways of dealing with the material, things to learn. And the moments where I'd come up against something like that and think, oh my gosh, okay, I'm a beginner again with this particular material. And so where do I find the advice? How do I move forward and like keep my confidence? So I'd say that's the most difficult part.
How about for you, Charlie?
For me, it's kind of backwards because I was a sculptor and now I'm trying to work in more of a 2D world. Just learning how to do all of that, having the confidence and giving myself problems and having to solve them. I really wanted to do a whole series on roofing tar paper and what materials can actually adhere to it, which don't fade into the blackness of it. And I had to experiment. And that's where I get to experiment. So it's really fun for me to flip from something that I'm comfortable with to something that I'm not, and working with the unknown. And then the discoveries are just so wonderful. I mean, I discovered that this oil just keeps moving and it makes me excited about the experimentation because I don't know where it's going to go. It's not guaranteed. And I feel like I'm constantly a scientist or a paraphysicist. It keeps me very excited about the work.
I am inspired by William Kendrich, Bruce Conner, and John Waters. They are all artists who work back and forth between still and moving images. Like them, I find each medium enhances the other. Lucille Ball and Robert Arneson allow me not to be afraid of my sense of humor, which often finds its way into my work, especially in film and video. Andrea, who are some of the artists who inspire you?
When I was 18, I saw a show called Lessons of Darkness, which was at the Berkeley Art Museum by an artist named Christian Boltanski. The work combined wire sculpture, photography. It was room after room. It was very haunting. His ability to connect all of these disparate materials to, I would say, one powerful emotion that moved you between the rooms. It was just mind-blowing. So I would say he was the sort of beginning of my mind going that direction. More recently, Sarah Lucas, her work combining, I love chairs, and I will often combine just sort of basic wood, traditional chairs with wool or other kinds of objects. And she does a lot of feminist-oriented work using nylons, which I also really like to use, and stuffed nylons through chairs. So there's a artist out of Puerto Rico called Daniel Lind Ramos, who combines quite a few everyday materials sculpturally. Even though I build in a very different way, I really like his work.
One of my main influences is Robert Rauschenberg, because he did all sorts of incredibly amazing big collages where he transferred images, and then he did all these sculptures. I remember images of him on a pair of roller skates with this big, huge circular thing behind him. So he does performance, and I've kind of had a relationship with the stage my whole life, either on the stage, making props, making costumes. His combining all those things and into performance has always been very interesting to me. And then Alexander Calder. I remember going to various huge museums when I was really young and coming across a Calder and just standing there for a very long time watching it move. And I was into dance myself, and so movement was part of my experience my whole life. And then Raymond Saunders, I think, is a really an amazing collagist and assemblagist. And his drawings I find absolutely exquisite. And he's actually recently influenced me to get into doing more drawing. And the last person I want to mention is Ruth Asawa, because her use of materials and her rounded forms and forms within forms, and they're suspended, so they're kinetic. All those four artists have really influenced me over the years.
Charlie?
At first, Joseph Cornell, he was a New Yorker. He was making things for his disabled brother, and it was very surreal. And the way that he collected things just walking down the street, I do that. I walk down the street, I find things on the street, and I bring them into my work. Just getting away from kind of crafts and just finding art everywhere come in. And then, of course, Marcel Duchamp, of course, was my biggest influence. He was playful with materials, and he was anti-commercial. He didn't care whether people bought his work ever. And that was back in the day when that was all there was selling work for the most part.
I delight and relish the times that I get to see shows and those that are moving. I mean, I think that's what drives us all, right? Is seeing great work. So the first thing that came to mind was Jeffrey Gibson at the San Francisco ICA. Was a phenomenal installation. He's obviously a multifaceted artist, certainly of this category, who works in all kinds of disciplines. But it happened to be a video installation, which is, I have to say, something that I'm much more selective about in terms of, you know, feeling like I'm invested in the time that it takes to experience it. And I absolutely was blown away. An artist from Southern California named Gerald Clark, a Native American artist, and he had a great installation outdoors as part of the Desert X. I had a chance to go to Santa Fe and got to see an incredible show about weaving that was at the Museum of American Indian Art and Culture. It was curated by contemporary Native artists who are doing weaving, extraordinary weaving, some very much tied to their tradition and some veering completely off. So it was curated by these young artists who went through this incredible collection of Native weavings, and they chose those pieces that spoke to them, and they wrote the didactics and sort of really told the story of what they saw in that work and why they thought it was something to highlight. And then it also exhibited some of those young artists' work. There's a show that Hung Lu had started curating at Mills College Museum. And it's basically a number of female artists who she mentored as a teacher.
When you need to write a statement, or when somebody asks you, what do you do as an artist? What is the narrative? What do you say?
My art statement has shifted quite a bit, but usually I have two intro lines that I work with. Sometimes I talk about using the everyday materials of mending to explore ancestry, domesticity, and emotional experience of home. And then recently, I've been talking about the familiar having a conversation with the existential, because I'm very interested in Buddhist philosophy. I'm really interested in just the more the questions than the answers, our relationship to the vast, and our methods for seeking knowledge. They range from the very tiny 4x4 small pieces to large scale room installations.
Do you have any advice to offer an artist who is working in multiple mediums or disciplines when they do approach a commercial gallery or your advisories?
I think it actually has to be tailored to who that audience is, who you are addressing. Knowing the work that that gallerist or that art consultant represents or able to place. If you're approaching a gallery that is 95% photography and you're an artist who does photography, but you also do painting and sculpture, you want to put your photography forward. It gets a little more tricky when you're approaching that dealer in some way who does have a range of work that they show and work with. And you are an artist who might have very developed bodies of work that might even have very little connection to each other in two different media. That's where you'd have to really kind of think through that. Do you want to kind of initiate the relationship with that one person, starting with that, you know, a certain body of work or a certain part of your discipline that you feel is most relevant, most resonant with what they are doing? And then as a relationship develops, make sure they're aware that you do other work as well. That's one way to do it. For approaching me as an art consultant, because the range that we work with is so broad, we have a very large and ongoing database that is our tool to make sure that we have information and representative images of a wide variety of artists who are practicing and who we know want to work with us, so that when we get projects, we have basically a huge palette of options to share with clients. And so in order to be a good service, we really want a huge range of makers, of types of work, the types of projects we do. It's usually multiple pieces at once and within budget, modest budgets in general. We would accept artists that feel like they could fit into some of our projects, knowing the kinds of clients we've had in the past, assuming there'll be some similarities in the future. We try to make sure it's not so far out of the box that we'll never give that artist an opportunity and they'll have wasted all their time.
So I'm a curator of a museum that you've been dying to speak to. What's your 2-minute pitch, Curtis?
I've been taking photographs my whole life, and I have mostly tuned into nature. And in nature, I'm really interested in finding abstraction and shadow and the layering of different forms. Currently, I am doing kinetic sculptures that are suspended from the ceiling that have the imagery of my photography. They move in space and they use things like painting and collage.
How about you, Charlie?
I deal with issues because I can't help being affected by them, and they are what motivates me to make work in response to them. And materials don't mean anything. They are there as vehicles.
Back to you, Andrea.
I work across the disciplines of photography, installations, sculpture, and painting to create spaces where the familiar converses with the existential. Through layering, ripping, transforming ordinary objects, everything from spices to funnels to wool, I explore our relationship to the vast and our methods for seeking knowledge.
As I create work in series that may vary significantly in appearance, I've adopted a metaphor akin to that of a musician who produces albums in diverse styles, yet remains unmistakably recognizable.
It's good to have that pitch. You never know who you're going to meet, and you don't get much time. I learned that over the years.
Artists today don't feel at all like they have to declare a particular medium to which they are eternally devoted. If an artist finds one medium suitable to express this idea, they can choose a different medium to express another idea. So we've really come a long way in sort of opening the possibility of what can occupy the world of fine art.
Thanks to Chandra Cerrito, Mary Curtis Radcliffe, Charlie Milgram, and Andrea Guskin for sharing their experiences and insights. You can find links to their Instagram and websites on the podcast notes. Our podcasts are available anywhere you get your podcasts and are also linked from mercury20.com. Please visit the website and follow us on Facebook and Instagram for past and future episodes and to learn more about the gallery and the artists. I'm your host, Elizabeth Scherr, for Too Close to the Sun Art Obsessions. Thanks for listening.